You can't really describe it. But as far as actually going over, you see, I didn't go with the first wave. I went with the signal to lay the lines down following the company office, you see, so that if you wanted to send... I got a portable telephone so that I could get messages back to the... or as a runner, you see. So I didn't go over the first wave, but of course the crash banging and the barrages and all the rest of it, they were terrible. They just, well, you lost that old sense of feeling. That was the point.
Now, you were saying earlier on you had this tooth pulled out in the shell hole. How did you come to be in this shell hole? Just as much.
Well, that was only, I mean, there was no proper trench system in then, you see. There were nothing but shell holes. Yeah. I mean, many a time you'd be drinking water out of a shell hole, and as the water went down, you'd find a really dead body in the bottom of it. No, this, I had toothache. And... this doctor come up, he said, what's up with you? I said, I've got toothache. So he said, anybody got a pair of pliers? Well, I said, I have, because I've been a linesman on the wire. I don't have a pair of pliers. I've still got them, as a matter of fact. And he says, let's see how that bugger out. And of course, he just, ooh, cool. And that was then, of course, dirty. And a few days after, of course, all my jaw started swelling up, and that was that.
Did you ever take part in any sort of hand-to-hand fighting?
No.
One reads a lot about that, but I suppose in actual fact there was very little of it, was there?
There may have been, I couldn't say. I was never in hand-to-hand fighting. Long-distance firing, oh yes, popping off and see one, whether you hit him or not, you don't know, because there was nobody to put a flag up, you know, to say you got a bull.
You've obviously got a great sense of humour, Mr. Fiddler. Now, can you tell me if there was ever a funny moment throughout the war that sticks out in your memory, the trenches or somewhere in your army?
Oh, yes, well, that was...
What's the funniest thing that
Funniest thing, I'll tell you straight. Well, of course, you know what the latrines were in a front-line trench. It was a hole, with a big hole, and you sat on a plank, see? And Jerry dropped a whiz-bang. And it dropped just the other side of the trench, and everybody fell in the shit. So you can imagine that. What that was the funniest thing I've seen.
And were you one of these?
Yes, I was one of them.
I bet you didn't think it funny at the time.
Thank God we didn't. We didn't have pong. Oh, you brute! We couldn't go down into dugouts. Oh no! Oh, that was hell of a. That was a nasty one, John Jerry. That was dirty. That was. That wasn't playing fair, but he just whizzed back, whoosh, you know. Of course, we naturally moved away from it, you see, and of course, this thing was just resting loosely on oil drums, you know. There was nothing firm. Of course, it only needed one really to push it, you know, running a lot. Well, there'd be about half a dozen of us on it, I think. But anyway, we fell in the shit. Ooh, you bugger. Oh, I'll never forget that.
Apart from that, what was your closest shave? Did you ever have a really narrow squeak?
Yes, being buried.
Oh, tell me something about that.
Well, it was something and nothing really. I was just going up the dugout steps, and Jerry dropped one, and the front of the. I wasn't buried. You know, I had nothing around my body. It was just that we had to wait while somebody dug us out from the other end. That was all. That was the worst I got, I think.
Did you feel frightened at this time, thinking perhaps they wouldn't bother to get you out?
No. We knew they were to come because the rations were down. No, we knew that.
So you reckon the rations are more important than you?
Oh, the rations are more important than me, yeah. Same with the old rum ration. As it went up the front line, it got weaker and weaker. As those at the back took a swig and then filled it up with water to fill the old rum jar, you know. Like you see old Bruce Brain's father's pictures and that. They're the things to stir memories, and of course lice with the bugbear. That reminded me of a story just after the war. And it was a farmer going around his fields, and he saw a tramp with his shirt off and running a candle along the seams of his shirt, you see. And the old farmer said, "Hey, what the hell are you and you were doing?" So this chap said, "Oh," he says, "I'm just toasting the visitors." No, that's what he can tell us after a dinner party. You know.
That's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, tell that to an ex-service crowd. You know, they just rise to the bait. You know, because everybody else had their candle and. Oh dear, no. No, lice were, they were nasty. No bones about that. Because I mean, when you were in full kit with a thick webbing belt round you, and the lice were running on your body underneath the belt, and you couldn't scratch. Ooh, yeah. It was really purgatory. You couldn't do anything about it. But the mud, of course, that was France was the biggest enemy, because you couldn't move. Yeah. And then, of course, the other thing was, you saw a dead man, you just took his boots off, hoping they'd fit you. Things like that.
Can you remember your old regimental number?
Yes. I think I can... Oh, check it in a minute. 40233.
After all these years, eh?
No, let's see. I mean it.
This is on your medals.
Four, yeah. That's the home guard one.
Yes.
That's it. 40344.
Well, you've told me a really wonderful story here.
No, I just
want... I know I'm keeping you for the...
No, let me show you something else. No, we'll have to... Forget that.
Your coffee has got cold.
I can always get warm, though. I've got to meet him.
Thank you very much. I'm now reading a cutting from the Ringing World dated December 13, 1968. And it says, retirement of John P. Fidler, outstanding service in providing country's bells. And it's a long two-articled item. It starts off, one of the best known personalities in the ringing exercise, Mr. John P. Fidler, has retired from Messrs. John Taylor and Company of Lapper and is now living in Crediton, Devon. He started with Taylor's in June 1926 and while with them inspected well over 3,000 rings of bells and measured up the same number of towers. And so it goes on. Well, that I think is absolutely marvellous, Mr. Fidler. Tell me, this job that you had, was this something that you chose for yourself from love of it, or was it one of these things that happened to fall your way and that you were happy with throughout life?
Well, it was the job was your hobby.
It was a hobby,
and that turned into a job.
It became a job.
That's the point.
And would you say that you've thoroughly enjoyed your working life as a result of
blimey,
that?
Oh, blimey, yes.
Would you change?
No, not really like that. No, it's one of those things. I mean, the more you know about bells, the more you find you don't know about them. Yeah. You're always learning. Mm. I mean, even me at 78, I'm still learning.
Oh, really?
There's always something fresh, you see. Bells have got... every bell's got its own individual... It's an individual character. It's got to be dealt with as an individual. I mean, it might be a little school bell, which is as important to that school as the 17-ton bell is to St. Paul's. See, bells range from tons down to pounds. Now, tell you what, we'll have a look down in the works before
you go. Yes, I'd love to, if I can just switch this off.